want to dedicate today's shir l'zeichu nishmas my uncle Yisrael Yaakov ben Avraham. It's his yahrzeit today. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf chav vav. We left off on daf chav hey amud beis. We are holding at the two dots on daf chav hey amud beis, four lines into the wide lines. Hagabain va'mochsin. So we added gabain and mochsin to people who were pasaleidus, even though initially they weren't on the list. So what changed? Why were the tax collectors added to the list, and initially they weren't on the list? So it says in Gemara, Meikarasavur ma'idikitzlu kashakli, kivan dechazu to kashakli yisera paslinu. Originally, they would only take what they were entitled to. They would only take the set amount that they were supposed to take. Once they saw that they were taking more than they were allowed to take, so they became ganavim. So once they became ganavim, they're pasul edus. Amar Rava, roe sha'amru, when we speak about a roe being pasul, echad roe behimadaka, the echad roe behimagasa. It doesn't make a difference whether we're talking about a roe behimadaka or a roe behimagasa. It doesn't make a difference what kind of animals the shepherd deals with. Frankly, Gemara, Miyama Rava Hachi, does Rava really say that? That there's no difference between a daka and a gasa? Vahama Rava Ro behim a daka be'eretz Yisrael psulin, b'chutz la'aretz k'sherin, Ro behim a gasa, filu be'eretz Yisrael k'sherin. That if you Ro behim a daka, it's only going to be psulin eretz Yisrael. And if you Ro behim a gasa, you're kosher everywhere, even in eretz Yisrael. So answers the Gemara, Hu b'megadlim itmar, that there's a difference between megadel and roa. That when it comes to megadlin, if you look at Rashi, megadlin itmar, she megadlin osam b'batehem, that they raise the animals in their house. Va'afilu hachi be'eretz Yisrael psulin megadle behim adaka, davidu d'mishamta v'rata l'to chasados. That when you're raising a behim adaka in Eretz Yisrael, it's still going to be possible because it could escape and run into other people's fields. Avagasa lo mishamta, but behim adaka is not going to easily just run away and get into, it's not going to squirm away or something and get into somebody else's fields. After the notra, you can watch it more easily. Aval roe, but when you're dealing with a shepherd, shemaran betoch bechutz beifer shel yishuv, afil beimagasa pasul shenichneses besada shelachirim. But when you're shepherding animals out in the field, then it doesn't make a difference whether you're shepherding small animals or large animals. Either way, it's going to be pasul because you're going to end up allowing them to go into other people's fields. That's going to be Geneva, and that's why it's going to be a problem. If you look at Tosos, Tosos says Pirush Behema Daka Asul Gadel Afilu Bebayis Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Dima Asul Rosen Besados, that Behema Daka you're not allowed to be Megadel even in the house. And Ubehima Gasa Mutulagadal Babais Vlogazra Khacham Mishum the Tsarak Lakharisha. He adds in another point. Why was it that they were never Gozer and Behima Gasa? On being Megadal Behima Gasa in your house, not because there's zero concern of any problems, but that they couldn't make a gezeira because you need a Behima Gasa, you need it in order to pull the plow. Ven Yuchal Lamud Bahai Gezeira. If they were to make such a gezeira that you're not allowed to be Megadal Behima Gasa, no one would be able to be omid in such a gezeira because people need, in an agricultural society, behema gasa is very important. It's like telling a farmer nowadays that he can't have a tractor. It's impossible. You can't tell him that he can't have any modern equipment. So behema gasa is the most important equipment that the farmer had. Isn't this a mission of Babakama? Ain Megadlin behema daka beret Israel. Mashma dafka daka avalgasa Megadlin. So you already see from the Mishnah, what do we need to be Mechadish over here? It's already enough in the Mishnah that it's only a problem to be Megadel behema daka in Eretz Israel, not a problem to be Megadel behema gasa in Eretz Israel. Vieshlomar di imeahi. No, had I only had that Mishnah in Meruba, Hava mina huadin gasa. I would have thought it's a problem to be megadol both the behema daka and the behema gasa. V'daka dinakat. Why does it only mention daka? Lashmin chiddush de seifa. Tafilu daka eno aser ela be'eretz Yisrael dafka. Avalo besuriyu de kibush yachalav kibush. I would have thought that the reason it mentions daka is to tell me that even daka is only aser in Eretz Yisrael, not aser in Surya. But eno chinami, the same would apply to behema gasa. That's where our Gemara has to tell me that no, there's a chilik between behema daka and behema gasa. So as the Gemara writer, hachinami mistavra midiktani ne'emanam alai shlosha roi bakar. So my love la edus, aren't we referring to roi bakar in regards to edus? So as the Gemara, lo ladina. No, maybe we're referring to when we refer to roi bakar, meaning we're trying to say hachinami mistavra that a roi behema gasa is pasul. Because you say that Ne'aman Malay Shlosh Roy Bakar. So obviously you're taking someone who's Pasala Edos and you're saying, I trust him. Says the word, no, we're not talking about Edos. That's not the Chiddush of Shlosh Roy Bakar. Shlosh Roy Bakar is you're talking about Ledin, that you want the Shlosh Roy Bakar to be your Dayan. And that has nothing to do with whether they're Pasal or not. The fact that they're Pasal to be Dayanim is not because they're Pasal to be Edim. They're Pasal to be Dayanim because they don't know anything. That's the Chiddush of Ne'aman Malay Shlosh Roy Bakar. For din, it's not such a chiddush. They don't know anything. That's all it's saying. Dekanami and the raya that we're talking about din and not edos is dekatani shlosha roi bakar. It doesn't say I believe this roi bakar. It says shlosha roi bakar v'ile edos shlosha lamli. But if all you're using them for is for edos, why would you need shlosha roi bakar? It would have been enough to have two roi bakar. The fact that you have shlosha roi bakar velamai must be that it's for din. So says Gemara velamai ledina. So what you want to say that shlosha roi bakar is ledin? My ear is shlosha roi bakar. Then why emphasize that the roi bakar? You don't need to be roi bakar in order to be pasul ledin. You just need to be an amaretz. Yeah, so roi bakar is an example of an amaretz. Just say anybody who doesn't know din, anyone who doesn't know chashan mishpat, is you could be mekabel on yourself as dayanim. You could have the same idea of ne'aman malai shlosh roi bakar. Why would you have to give the example of roi bakar? So says the Gemara Hachikamar, Afilum Hani Deloshchichi Biyishuv. Now, Roy Bakar have another disadvantage. Not only do they not know anything, they're also not Oskim Biyishuv Shalolam. They don't deal in Dini Mamanis. They deal with cattle all day. They deal with animals all day. So you might have thought that at least even in common sense types of judgments, they're not going to be able to figure things out because they don't have any sort of business sense. So that's the idea that Shlosh Roy Bakar is a bigger Chiddush if you say Ne'aman Amalai Shlosh Roy Bakar. That not only do they not know the Choshen Mishpah, but they don't even know the way people generally conduct themselves in business. Amr Yehuda, Stam Roa Pasul. A Stam Roa, a regular shepherd, is going to be Pasul. Stam Gabai Kasher, but the typical tax collector is going to be Kasher. And the Gemara gives an example of one tax collector who was a tax collector his whole life, but he was, not his whole life, but for an extended period of time, but he was definitely very much Kasher. Avud Rabbi Zera, the father of Rabbi Zera, Avud Gavyusa Tleis Hashnin, was the Gabai for 13 years. The Gabai took to collect the taxes for the king for 13 years. When the government official would come to town to collect, when he would see Rabbanan, who live in the town, he would say to them, he would tell the Rabbanan, he would say, go hide somewhere. And when he saw regular people of the town, he would say, look, the prince is coming to town, or the officer, the official is coming to town, the governor is coming to town, and he's going to slaughter fathers in front of their children and children in front of their fathers, meaning he's going to collect a lot of money from you. It's going to be very difficult. He's going to impose a very steep fine. I'm not 100% clear on why he used such different tactics with the Talmidei Chachamim and with the Hamonam. With Talmidei Chachamim, he wants them to hide, so what does he tell them? Hide. With the Hamonam, he says, you should know it's going to be ugly if you're around when he comes. So, Umignazu Kuleyamu, so everyone would hide at the end of the day. Talmidei Chachamim and the Hamonam, everyone ran away to hide. So, Kiyasi Amalei, it could be that with the Talmidei Chachamim, he was able to just tell them straightforward, hide, but the Amayaris, he couldn't tell them hide because they're going to rat him out, that when the governor comes, he's going to go and say these people might turn him in and say, oh, he told us to hide from you. So he didn't want to say it like that. He just said, you should know he's coming, get ready, big tax day coming up, warning, but he wouldn't want to say explicitly to go and hide. I don't know. So Miglazu Kulei Alma, so everyone ran in and hid. Kiasi Amalei Miman Nivai, so once the governor came, so he said, well, who do you want me to collect from? You see, this place is a ghost town. There's no one here because everyone was hiding inside their houses, and he wasn't going to go door to door and start counting people. It just looked like it was empty. It looked like the community was dying out. So that way, he saved a lot of people a lot of money from having to pay the taxes. Ki nicha nafshe, and when he was dying, when this avud Rabbi Zera's father was dying, so amalei shkolu tleis armai detzayr lebisadinai vahadulei leplani detshaka. He said, look, I have certain money put away, wrapped up somewhere. I want you to make sure you give it back to so-and-so because I collected the money from him thinking I would need it. Turns out that I didn't need the money, and therefore you should go and return it to him. So he's a very honest tax collector. Not all tax collectors are pasul edus. That's why we say a stam roa maybe is pasul, but a stam gabai is kosher. If we know that he's pasul, so then there's a problem. Then we'll pasul him. Stam, he's going to be kosher. Amar Rav Shimon, b'tchila hayu karen us an osvishvi. So there was an unusual line in our Mishnah. We said that originally we used to call the people who dealt with Shemitah Osfei Shvius, and then we changed and we started calling them Sochrei Shvius. So what happened? Why would we change what we call people, and what does that have? What does that tell us about them? So it says the Gemara, Maika Amar, Amar Avida Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say. But Chilo Yu Omrim, they used to say that Osfei Shvius Ksherin, Sochrin Psulin, which sounds logical. The people who gather produce during the Shemitah year of Kasher, because you're allowed to do that. If you see a Shemitah, you see a field during Shemitah, it's Hefker, you go and you take produce, you're allowed to eat it, there's nothing wrong with that. But Sochrin, if you go and you do business with the Shemitah produce, that's going to be possible. Misha Rabu Mamsiye Malsanim Vazianim Vasfilu Maisu, but once there were a lot of people that started to pull a trick. They used to take money and they would hire Aniim to go gather large amounts of produce in order to share with them, so that became like schora, right? That became that the Aniim were taking money in order to go work the field in Shvius. So then Chazru Lomar Echodzev Echodzev Psul. And then they said you're going to be Psul even if you're Osef. If you want to eat Shemitah produce, go into the field, take an apple and eat it. But to go and gather anything, we're suspicious that if you're going to gather something, that you're really not doing it for yourself to bring it to your own house. We're afraid you're taking money to gather on someone else's behalf, and that is absolutely us to do during Shemitah. So they said, you're going to be possible if you gather anything. So they said, okay, that sounds like a reasonable story, but the difficulty is with the language. The language the Mishnah used is "Hi Misharabu Hanasim Misharabu Tagarmi Ba'ilei." It shouldn't have said Misharabu Hanasim. Hanasim makes it sound like bad people who were forcing them to do something they didn't want. Over here, it's not. It's just Tagarin. It's merchants. Merchants wanted to have enough produce, so they hired people to go get the produce for them. They hired Aniim to get the produce for them. That should have been Tagarin, not Hanasim. So Ella, rather, what we have to say is "B'tchilah Yu Omrim Echadzev Echadzev Psulin." Initially, it was the opposite. They said that both Sochrei Shvius and Osfei Shvius are possible. Misha Rabu Anasin, but when the Anasin became plentiful, what does that mean? Umay Ninhu Arnuna. It means the government, that the government officials would impose on them to support the king or whatever it is, to give a certain amount of grain per year, including the Shemitah year. So then, Kedemachrus Rabbi Yane, Pok Vezor B'Shvius, like Rabbi Yane once announced, you have to go and plant during Shemitah, Mishamar Nuna, in order to be able to pay this tax to the king. So Chazru Lomar Osfin Ksherin Sochrim Psulin. So that's when they changed their mind, and they said, if you're Osef in Shvius, you're Kasher, if you're a Socher Shvius, you're Pasul, because you're allowed to do, you just couldn't do business with Shemitah produce, but to gather it, you needed to gather it. They had to pay the taxes. The only way to pay the tax was to gather the produce first, and to go pay the tax. So that's when they said it was kosher. So if you reverse what was said in the Mishnah, so then it could work out with the idea of andasim. Says Tosos, Vim Tomar Mishumar Nuna Hitiru Lachrosh Vlizroa Davi Yisur Midal Raisa. He says, wait a second, for the Arnun, what other Yisurim Daraisa are we allowed to violate to help us pay our taxes? How about working on Shabbos in order to help us pay our taxes? You're allowed to just violate Yisurim Daraisa? You're allowed to go violate Yisurim Daraisa to help you pay? So it says, tells us, yeah, we're talking about Shemitah B'Zmanazah, which is only Drabanan, and therefore we're willing to be Mekalan and Drabanan, B'Makom Hefsin Meruba, and that's what they did. They were Mekalan and Drabanan, B'Makom Hefsin Meruba. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Poku Ziru B'Shvius, Shvius B'Zmanazah Drabanan, the Batla Kedusha Sa, that the Kedusha Saaretz is no longer there. Says Tosfos, Inam Yesh Lomar, to Pikuach Nefesh. No, this isn't just a monetary loss. This is Pikuach Nefesh. Shesholam HaMelech Mas, Ve'in Lamayi Fra'enu, U'mesim B'tfisas Melech, V'achim Rishalmi, Mishum Chai Nefesh. What happens if you don't pay? So it's not like the king says, oh, you couldn't pay? Okay, that's okay, maybe next year. No, you couldn't pay. The king would jail you, and the jails weren't very pleasant places. It wasn't a country club jail. They were, you likely died in that jail. So people were being arrested and dying all the time. time, and that was mamish pikuach nefesh. So yes, for pikuach nefesh, will violate even isurim daraisa. So Tosa says, yeah, you would be mechal Shabbos for something like this. You just like you'd be mechal Shviz for something like this, because it's mamish pikuach nefesh. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Rabbi Chia bar Zarnuki and Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak have a kaazli laber shana ba'asya. Rabbi Chia bar Zarnuki and Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak were going to be ma'aber the shana in the town of Asya. Tosa says, wait, stop the story right there. They're going to be ma'aber the shana in Asya. Where's Asya? He says, how could they be ma'aber in Asya? Asya chutz la'aretz. It says in the third paragraph of Basra, Asya vaspamya. Those are lands in chutz la'aretz. They're going to be ma'aber the shana in chutz la'aretz. So says Tosa, no. V'yesh lomer de la'aber, rotz lomer de lachshav. Lachshav. It means that they were going to do the cheshbonos of being ma'aber the shana. And from the continuation of the story, we're going to see that the year that this story took place happened to have been during a Shemitah year. So obviously, if it was during a Shemitah year, they weren't going to be Ma'aber the Shana during a Shemitah year. We said that was one of the rules. You never want to be Ma'aber a Shemitah year. What, add another month where people aren't allowed to work the karka? That would be terrible. You need to be Ma'aber a Shana that's not a Shemitah year. So obviously, they weren't planning on being Ma'aber that year, but they were just going to discuss, they were going to do the cheshbonos. Okay, so Pagabu Reish Lakish Itful Badayu. Reish Lakish saw that Rabbi Chia bar Zarnuki and Rabbi Shimon Yotzadik were going to be Ma'aber the Shana, so he wanted to join along with them. He wanted to get a little bit of shimush to learn all these halachas about being Ma'aber the Shana. Amar Ezelachzi Hechi Avdi Uvda. He said, let me go see how this is done. This is a good opportunity, a good learning opportunity for me. So as they were walking, Chazelu Gavr de Kakariv, they saw a guy plowing in his field. And again, it was Shemitah. So Amalan, Kohen v'Chorish. So Reish Lakish said to the other two rabbis, he said, look, this guy's a Kohen and he's plowing his field during Shemitah. Gemara is going to discuss later why he says Kohen. How do you know he's a Kohen? Was he Duchening? So he said, nah, look, he's a Jew. He's supposed to be a from Jew and he's plowing the field during Shemitah. Amrullo, so they said to him, Yachalomar Agiston ani betocho. What are you going to do? You're going to yell at him? You know what he's going to tell you if you yell at him? He'll tell you that Agiston ani betocho. Rashi says, what does that mean? Sachir v'karka shel nachrihu. I'm just hired to work here. This karka doesn't belong to me. It belongs to a nachri. And that's why I'm working in it. Inami, Rashi says, he'll tell you, Mishamanuna, Sachru Balabai Slachrosh. No, this is part of the heter for the Arnuna, that in order to pay for the taxes of the king, we need to go and work this field in order to get the proper amount of produce to give to the king. So I'm just an employee here, I just got to work here, I have a heter. So he's going to be more heter, he'll tell you why he's allowed to do it. So don't go yelling at him. Says Tosos, Agisra Nibitocha, Pirusha Kunchus Lashon Rishon, Sachra Nibitocha, Vekarka Shal Nachrihu, Veloni Hir. He says, I don't like Rashi's first pshat, that it belongs to a guy and therefore I'm allowed to work here. Darmin begitin ein odrin ima nachri b'shvias. You're not allowed, just because it belongs to a guy doesn't mean you're allowed to work there. It's us to do so. So he says, that's why you have to say like the second pshat. You have to say like the second pshat in Rashi, that it's because of the taxes to pay the king that it was necessary to work during Shemitah. So they keep on walking, so Reish Lakish didn't say anything, and they saw another guy, Davakasach Bekarmi, who was pruning his vineyard. Amalan Kohen Vizamar. He says, look, the guy's a Kohen and he's pruning his vineyard. It's Shemitah, Ribbono Shalom, what are we going to do about this? Amrulei, so they said to him, Yachalom la'akal beis habad anitzarech. He says, no, he'll tell you that he's just putting the netting on the beis habad, on the press, that you need to tie nets in the beis habad, on the olives, on the sediment, so that I guess the yucky stuff doesn't come through. It's like a filter, probably. So that's what he's doing. He's making the nets. Meaning, what does it mean he's making the nets? He's in his vineyard. The vines serve as good netting for the Beis Abad. That's all he's doing. So he's lakal Beis Abad. Fractosos, wait a second. And you're allowed to do that? If it benefits the vines, are you allowed to prune the vines, even if your kavanah is not for the vines, but it's going to benefit the vines? Is that permissible? V'kasha de mikol makom mabekach, mikol makom hava mashpiach hakerem. It's still improving the vineyard. Dachi amin paraklav gadol, azomer v'tzarech le'etzim. Look at Hilchos Shabbos, says Tosos. If you prune and you only need the wood, all you need is the wood that you're taking, still chayiv shtayim, mishum kotzer u mishum noteya. Hachinayim, il chayiv, mishum avodos noteya. So you're chayiv for taking the wood that you need on Shabbos, but you're also chayiv for helping out the tree that you're cutting, because after all, when you cut off some branches, you're helping the tree grow. So you're chayiv mishum notea. So over here as well, if it's in fact beneficial for the vineyard to go and be zomer some of the vines, I don't care what your kavana is, you're helping the vineyard. Shouldn't that be a problem? Says Tosfos Yeshomer Davidei Ba'osu Inyan Devadei Kashalei Delek Alachayva Mishum Noteya. No, you do it in such a way that it's not good for the vineyard, and that's what the guy's going to tell you. Yes, I'm pruning, but I'm pruning in a way that's bad for the vineyard. So anyway, so he Amar Lahemre Shlakish says back to the rabbis, back in the Gemara, Halev Yodei Imla Akel Imla Kalkalos. Now, well, he's still very suspicious. He says, please. He knows, the guy knows for sure what he's really doing it for, if he's doing this for netting or he's doing this because he wants to violate the Shemitah. So, which episode happened first? The story of the guy plowing or the story of the guy pruning? So we heard the story of the guy plowing first, but is that really the first story that happened? Are these stories told in order? If they're being told in order in our Gemara, why by the vineyard didn't they come up with the same idea? Just say that he's doing it for the Arnuna, for the taxes that they have to pay the king. Why do they have to come up with a new excuse for him, that he's doing it for netting of the Beis Habad? Why would you come up with that? It must be that the second story came first. First thing they thought of is what you could use the vines for. They said it's for the netting. Now the netting excuse doesn't work for the guy plowing. Right, that's why they had to come up with a new excuse about the plowing. But if the stories were told, happened in the order that they were told, and they already thought of the idea of saying that it was that it was for the Arnuna, that it was for the taxes, but they already thought of that by the plowing, then there's no reason they wouldn't have used the same answer by the case of the Zomer of the Kerem, by the case of the guy pruning the vineyard. Or perhaps Reish Lakish wouldn't have even asked the question if he already heard that answer. He would have known that no, they're just going to tell me that he's doing it for the taxes. It must be that the case of the vineyard therefore happened first. They hadn't yet thought of the idea of coming up with the excuse that it was for the taxes, so they came up with a different excuse about making the netting, and then they had to come up with a new idea when it came to the plowing. Fine. So Maishna Kohen, why does he keep calling the guy a Kohen? What did he know about the guy's yichus? Mishum de chashidi ashvius. No, that was a way of saying that someone was chashud on shvius, that he doesn't observe the laws of Shemitah properly. The Tanya saw truma shenafel lemeisin shel shvius. If one saw truma falls into 100 se'in of Shemitah produce, tala, so it becomes batel. Pachas mikain yirkavu, but less than that, you're going to have to let it all rot. So Vavinuba, we ask why? Why if it falls into less than 100 se'in of Shemitah produce, do you have to let it all rot? We have an idea. Amai yirkavu, yim karenu l'koin b'dmei truma, chutz midmei ososa. Just sell it to a kohen for the value meaning with b'dmei truma, meaning at a cheaper price, because truma, generally, the demand is lower because fewer people are able to eat it. So sell it to the kohen at a cheaper price, and don't charge him for the one sa of truma that's mixed in. Only charge him for the, whatever, 50, 60, 70 sa'in of shvius produce that's in there. And that way, you'll be able to use the produce. The kohen will be able to eat it. So we see from here that Kohanim are chashud on shvius, meaning why do we not want to do this? Why do we not want to sell it to a kohen? Because you don't want to give Shemitah produce to a kohen. We're chosher, we don't know what he's going to do with it. Says Rashi, why are Kohanim going to be more makel when it comes to Shemitah? Because they say, look, Truma is asked for everybody else, I'm allowed to have it. Kachi Kachim is asked to everybody else, I'm allowed to have it. Okay, so Shemitah, Lachas Mana Biur, is asked to everybody, I'll be allowed to have it, it's no big deal for me. So you can't trust Kohanim with Shemitah produce. So fine. So that's the reason that Kohanim were chashud. Frak tells us, wait a second, even without the Kohanim being chashud on Shviz, what was the suggested Eitzah? To sell the Shemitah produce to the Kohanim? What are you not allowed to do with the Shemitah produce? Right, so that you're not allowed to destroy Shemitah produce, but what else? You're not allowed to do business with Shemitah produce. You're not allowed to make a sale of Shemitah produce. How could they have even suggested to sell it to the Kohanim? You can't sell Shemitah stuff. So says Tosfim Tomer Vaasulas Aschorim Peru Shviyis. Could I mean Misach Zavod Zara Laach Lavelo Laschora? How could we even suggest this? V'yishlomer Deschora Haynu Kishem Mocher B'Shuk Ken Chanos De Dami Laschora Aval Pamachas Ken Akray Bialma Lakamishum Schora. Unbelievable. He says Schora is in a more consistent type of way. One time you're allowed to sell it. So if the shul makes a little money on one shalach manas that we happen to have a little bit of shemitah wine, so it's bakrai, it's only a one-time thing. So then maybe it's not an isur schara, but you're going to open up a store where you sell shemitah wine. So that mistama would be a problem, right? If you sell it in your wine store, then you're going to have a problem unless you're only selling the costs of distribution or whatever else. You're not selling the actual wine. Fine. Amru Trudahudin. So anyway, the story continues. Reish Lakish is a third wheel as these two rabbis are going to figure out the Ibra Shana, and he keeps hacking them. Look at this guy, look at that guy, we have to make a machal, we have to scream. So they say to each other, this guy is so annoying, this Reish Lakish. So he said, let's lose him. So what did they do? When they got to where they wanted to go, they said, okay, Reish Lakish, you know, you're the Talmud, so you'll go up last. So they each went up to the Aliyah, and then they pulled the ladder up so that Reish Lakish wouldn't be able to get up. So he's stuck on the bottom, and they're up top. So Reish Lakish was insulted. So he went to Rabbi Yochanan, Amrlei, and he started ratting them out. Rabbi Yochanan, he said, these guys, they're chashur and shemitah. How do I know they're chashur and shemitah? Every time we saw someone violating shemitah, they came up with excuses for the guy. And you're going to let them be ma'arba the shana? So hada Amrlo kashali. Then he said, it doesn't bother me. Midadav, ashosha roi bakar. Look, if three roi bakar could be ma'arba the shana, so then you could have who was it? Rabbi Chiya Bar Zanuki and Rabbi Shimon Yatzadeh could be Ma'arba Deshana also. They're just like Shosha Roy Bakar. V'Rabbanan Chashbonayu Samachin. When the Rabbanan actually go to be Ma'arba Deshana, they'll make their own Chashbonos. They're not going to rely on these Roy Bakar. V'Hadar Amar. And then he said, you know what? It's not even similar to Roy Bakar. Lo Dami. Hasam Hadar Imnu Rabbanan V'Yabrua Lehushasa. Hacha Kesher Rishayim Hu. V'Kesher Rishayim Einam in a Minyan. He says, no, this is different than Roy Bakar, because by the Roy Bakar, the Rabbanan will go and they'll re-vote and they'll count whoever counts into the to vote on whether they should be Marba Deshana. But over here, we can't be Somech on these people at all. They're Kesher Rishayim. They're Mamish Rishayim. They're going and violating Shemitah in such a way, so you can't rely on them at all. So this is how Reish Lakish is going through his Cheshbon. You know, it's interesting when you're upset at somebody, the Cheshbonos start going. So this is how Reish Lakish goes to the whole cheshbon, that the cheshbon is like this, so maybe they're like Roy Bakar. Oh no, they're not like Roy Bakar, they're worse, they're Rishayim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, enough! I'm Rabbi Yochanan Daka! Please, you're driving me crazy. Stop calling them this. Stop talking like this. So, right, Rashi says, Da'aka. What does Da'aka mean? Says Rashi. I had it a second ago. He says, whatever. He says, stop talking like this. I need to speak on this way. Right, Da'aka, Shatakarios, and Rishayim. You can go so far, you can call them Rishayim. Crazy. Kiyasul Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, when they came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amrulei, they said to him, Karilan Roy Bakar v'lormele marvelo midi. So look, when he called us Roy Bakar, that you were okay. It's only when he called us Rishayim you started complaining? Come on, how could you let him badmouth us like that? So Amr Lahu, Vikari Lahu Roy Tzon, my Aminulei. He said, yeah, Roy Bakar, Roy Tzon, come on, you gotta let certain things slide. If he would have called you Roy Tzon, then what would you have said? If he would have called you Roy Tzon, then that would have been okay. Meaning, okay, you know, so he calls you not nice guys, he calls you nice guys, and he's just calling you, when he calls you Rishayim, that's really bad. Roy Bakar, Roy Tzon, it's not gonna bother me. What's the difference between Roy Bakar, Roy Tzon, which is worse? So the Gemara Nivam, Staf Tezayin, where the Gemara says that, Achush Rabbi Dosu ben Hirkan is said to Rabbi Akiva, Atahu Akiva Sheshimcha Holich Misof Olam Vatsofo, Ashrecha Shezachitza L'Shem, Vadayin Lo Higata L'Roi Bakar. He said, wow, they called you such a name, you got such a great reputation, you're not even like a Roi Bakar yet. Omelo Rabbi Akiva says, Vafil Roi Tzon. Adrav, I'm not even like a Roi Tzon. Forget about a Roi Bakar. So apparently Roi Tzon is even worse than Roi Bakar. So he says, look, okay, names, sticks and stones can break my bones. But, you know, I'm not going to be worried if he calls you Roim. But if he calls you Rishayim, that's going to be much worse. So my Kesher Rishayim, what's this idea of Kesher Rishayim? That we said that if there's a Kesher Rishayim, that it can't count for anything. Shevna v'darsh b'tfleis v'rabusa. Shevna used to darshin for 130,000 people. Chizkiya v'darsh b'chadza rabusa. And Chizkiya would darshin for 110,000 people. So even though Chizkiya was the king, Shevna had a more popular shir. When he would say the shir klali, it's like you know, certain yeshivas, the Rosh Yeshiva, I remember in Kerem Biavne used to be like that. The Rosh Yeshiva would say shir klali, it was very few people would come. Then everyone would leave the Beis Medrash. So the Rav Meir Golvich started saying a different shir in the other place where everyone was running to. And they discovered that more people were going to Rav Meir Golvich's shir than were going, this was before my time, than were going to the Rosh Yeshiva's shir. So it wasn't, he had to stop saying the shir. So anyway, so Mike, so where are we? So he said, yeah, so Chizkiah said to a smaller group, still a pretty impressive group, 110,000 people, we should, you know, not so bad. So Kiyasa San Cherev Vitzara Lod Yerushalayim, when Cherev came and took over Yerushalayim and surrounded Yerushalayim, Kasav Shevna Pitka Shadda Begira, Shevna wrote a note and connected it to an arrow and shot the arrow out over the wall to send the note to San Cherev. And the note said as follows, Shevna V'siyata Ishlimu, Shevna and his group are ready to make shalom with you. Chizkiah V'siyata Lo Ishlimu, but Chizkiah and his group are not ready to make shalom with you. So my suggestion, obviously, the implicit suggestion is, make me the king, not Chizkiah. He's trying to take over. Shnemar Kinei Roshom Yidruchim Keshes Konnu Chitzam Al Yeser. Have a commissive for Chizkiah. So Chizkiah was afraid. Amar Dilma Chas V'Shalom Nat Yedaiti Dekutra Bruchu Basaruba. He says, maybe I should follow the rov. The halach is you're supposed to follow the rov. Shevna has the rov, so maybe I'm supposed to make shalom with Sancheiriv. Kiva Daruba Mimsri Inunami Mimsri. So if the rov is willing to go give themselves up and go make peace, maybe I'm supposed to do it too. But Navi Vamarlo, so the Navi came and then said to him, no, Yeshayo said to him, Lo Samar Kesha the Kalasha Yomar Ha'amaze Kesher, Kolomar, meaning to say, Kesher Rishayim Hu, the Kesher Rishayim in a minion. It's a Kesher Rishayim, and a Kesher Rishayim doesn't count toward the minion, and therefore that doesn't count as a rove when you have a Kesher Rishayim. Rav Shechter once said that, he heard from Rav Shechter when he was in high school, he used to attend Rav Salvechik Shir because they thought he was ready for it. But Rav Salvechik only said Shir twice a week. So the other days of the week, they thought it wasn't healthy for a high school kid not to go to Shir 5 days a week. So they sent him to Rav Gorelik Shir, also a college level Shir. So he went to Rav Gorelik Shir 3 days a week, Rav Salvechik Shir 2 days a week. So he learned Sanhedrin by Rav Gorelik. So every once in a while, he would say over something in Sanhedrin from Rav Gorelik. So he said that Rav Gorelik said this idea of Kesher Rishayim, Eino Min HaMinyan, is the idea that there's machlokas haposkim. Let's say you have a rove. You have three people paskin yishayla. Two of them paskin l'kula, one paskin l'chumra. But the two that paskin l'kula have two different reasons to paskin l'kula. Is that called a rove? Would you say that holchim basa rove in that case? So it's a machlokas haposkim. Some say yes, some say no, that they don't agree with each other. If they don't agree with each other, you're not going to go basa rove. So he said, kesher rishayim enam in a minyan. When you're trying to determine whether you should go basa rove or not go basa rove, kesher rishayim should never count. Because the nature of Rishayim is that when they agree with each other, it's usually not for the same reason. Everyone has their own agenda. It's not l'shem shemayim. Everyone has their own thing. So, like the Mishnah says in Avos, that a machlokas shalol l'shem shemayim is a machlokas korach va'adaso. Why not the machlokas korach and Moshe? Why korach va'adaso? Because even korach va'adaso didn't get along with each other. Even they had different agendas. They were only getting along with each other because they both wanted to accomplish something bad, but they each had their own agenda. So that's the idea. That's what he wanted to say, that Kesher Rishayim Eino Min HaMinyan. Rav Shechter pointed out, that's not the Pasha Pshat. The Pasha Pshat is Kesher Rishayim Eino Min HaMinyan is because when it comes to taking a vote on an issue, so you have to be entitled to an opinion. If you have, let's say, all the Amoratzim paskin that something is mutter, and all the Talmidei Chachamim paskin that it's aser. So what? So you're going to say, well, there are more Amoratzim than there are Talmidei Chachamim, so you should go basa rov. No, it's ridiculous. Obviously, if there are more Amoratzim, if the Amoratzim don't count, they don't get a vote. So the Rishayim also, the Rishayim don't get a vote. They don't count toward the rov. Like the story they tell of Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, where the Apikoros asked him, you guys paskin, I think I mentioned this recently, you guys paskin that we go basa rov, and you should know there are more Muslims, there are more Christians, there are more apikorsim than there are believing Jews, so shouldn't we go basa rov? Shouldn't we follow the majority? So Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz's response was, no, we only follow rov on things that are a suffix, right? And that we know our emunah is real, it's not a suffix. But Lachari could have also said that you don't count toward the rov, probably would have made the guys happy, but you don't count toward the rov, because why should someone count toward the rov if they're not even entitled to an opinion? Okay, halach l'achzav lo kever b'kivrei beis David. So then Shevna was so confident that he was going to become the king that he went and he dug himself a burial plot in the kivrei beis David, because he figured he's going to be entitled to one. But Navi va'amr lo malacha po milacha po ki chatzavta lecha po kever hine Hashem etal telecha tal telegavar. He says, what are you doing over here? You're going to be running around, you're going to be schlepped around from place to place, and that's going to be your punishment. You're not going to be a king. Amrav til tulu degavar kashi midi'itza. So it's a greater curse for a man to have to travel from place to place than it is for a woman. He had Saras. How do we know that? It says over here in regards to Shevna, it says, and yet And Yeruk Sifasam Val Safim Yate, it says by Tsaras, Val Safim Yate, that he wraps on his lips. So you see that that it relates to Tsaras. Says the Gemara Vaitu, Pasuk says in Shayahu, Tsunof Yitznof Chatznefa Kadur Aleretz, Rachvas Yadayim Vagomer, Tana, who bekesh clone based Adonal, Fichach Nepach Kvodo Lekalon. He wanted to humiliate his master's house, and therefore his honor was turned to humiliation. Kavanafik Ihu, Asa Gavriel, Achte Ludasha Ba'api Mashriyas. So what happened? Shevna was going to go out with his 130,000 people to greet Sancheiriv and make Shalom. He's leading the pack. He walks out of the gates of the city. Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel, comes and slams the gates closed in front of the 130,000 people. Shevna turns around. He's all alone. So Sancheiriv sees one man coming out to make peace with him. Samrulei, Mishairasecha Hecha, where's all your people? Where are all the people that are behind you that are supposed to be making peace? You told me you had a contingent of 130,000 people. Amar Hadrubi, he says, I guess they turned back on me and they backed out on their guarantee. They told me they were going to do it, but they didn't. Amar Lei, Im Kein, Achluki Kamechayakdaban. So you expect us to believe that? That last minute, they just, 130,000 people just all turned around? You're mocking us. You're making fun of us. Nakvu Ba'akevav, so they pierced holes in his heels. Vitalu Bezinve Susayem, they hung his heels, his feet, by the tails of their horses. They tied the tails of their horses through the holes that they punctured in his feet, and they had the horses run, dragging him on thorns and on twigs in order to make him suffer, in order to pain him. So that was the torture that they chose for him. Nebuch, we saw, Rav Salvechik said that he had an uncle that they did this to in the Holocaust, not with the holes in the feet, but they tied to the back of cars and they just dragged him, you know, on the... methods of torture of Rishayim didn't change much over the years. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shevna Bal Hana'a Haya. Shevna was a Bal Hana'a. Ksiv HaChalich Bal HaSokin HaZeh, Ksiv HaSem Vatilo Sokenes. That the Lashon of Sokin implies someone who enjoys life, who enjoys getting Hana'a. So the Gemara quotes Vayter, a Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki HaShasos Yeharesun Sadik Mapa'al. Rabbi Yehuda Ravina Chadamar, what the pasuk means to say is, Ilu Chizkiah v'Siyatu Ne'arasin Sadik Mapa'al. If Chizkiah and his contingent would have been destroyed, then Sadik Mapa'al, then where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand? Where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to make sure that everything works out? V'Chadamar, Ilu Beis HaMikdash Ye'aras Sadik Mapa'al. No, if the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed, then Sadik Mapa'al. V'Ulamar, Ilu Machshavosav Shalosu Rasha Eina Ne'arasos Sadik Mapa'al. That we shouldn't focus on, the focus is not on Chizkiah, the focus is on, had that Russia, Shevna, not been destroyed, then Sadik Mapa'al. So I understand if the focus is on the destruction of the Russia, so I understand why it says I understand. Also, if you say that it relates to the Beis HaMikdash, it says Evan Haisa Shami Mosnevim Arishonim Ushasiya Haisa Nikres. So I understand the Lashon of Shasos. The Beis HaMikdash is built on something called the Evan Shasiya. So Shasos relates to Shasiya. So I get it. But if the pasuk that talks about the shasos is ki hashasos yaharas and sadik mapal relates to Chizkiah and his group, heicha ashkan sadiki dikri shasos, where do we ever find sadikim that they're called shasos? Tichsiv ki lashem mitzuki eretz vayashas aleim tevel. Pasuk says ki lashem mitzuki eretz vayashas aleim tevel, and that's a reference to tzadikim. So you see that they're also called by such a lashon. V'ibay say mehacha. Some say no. It's from the following pasuk. Pasuk says hifli etza higdil tushia. So again, you see tushia relates to talmidei chachamim. Am Rav Chanan, Lama Nikra Shema Tushia. Why is the Torah called like Tushia? Because the Torah weakens a person's physical strength. That a person spends a lot of time learning Torah, so he look hunched over like a yeshiva bacher. He's not going to be physically strong. That Toshia means that it was given secretly because of the Satan. That the Satan was mekatrik and he said, no, let the Torah stay up here in the Elyonim. Why should we give the Luchos to Moshe? Why should we let the Torah Torah go down. So they had to like keep it from the Satan, because the Satan was going to be mekatrig. The Torah had to be given in secret. Davaracher Toshia Dvarim Shel Tohu Sha'olam Meshusas Aleihem. Toshia, it means that there are things that appear to be Dvarim Shel Tohu, things of emptiness, words of emptiness, but the world really stands on those words. What are these words of emptiness that the world stands on? It's Torah. So why is the Torah called words of emptiness? Why do people view it as words of emptiness? So says Rashi, no, it just means that it's words, and generally people don't put too much stock into words. They like things that are concrete, that are action, that are... So dibur v'kriya bi'alma v'kol dibur ein bo geshisha mamish ketohu hazeh. That anything that's just words is something that's not tangible. V'afal pikein olam shusa saleim. And nevertheless, you would think the world needs to stand on something that's tangible, but the world stands on divrei Torah alone. Others say that no, that the idea of Tushia, the idea of Tohu rather, is, I think Ben Yoyada says, it's Agadita Gemara. That when you have Agadita, so it just seems like nice stories. Everything is a story here, a story there, but if you understand the depth of it, it's Dvar Ma'amdim Barumo Shalolam. It's the things that keep the world going. So it's not just that it's words, it's that it's words that people really don't put much value into. They don't put much stock into. They don't realize how valuable it is. Amar Ula. Machshava Mo'ela Safilu L'Divrei Torah. Machshava, meaning machshava over here is a negative machshava. It means for people who are always worried and have daigos on their head and are always concerned about things, so that can hurt a person even in terms of Divrei Torah. Mo'elis means, says Rashi, mahani l'shakeach limudo. It helps a person forget his learning. Even it helps you forget Divrei Torah when you have a lot of worries on your head. That's one shita, one pshat in Rashi. The other pshat in Rashi says, Lishna achrina, machshava sh'ata mechashev, kach v'kach ese, kach v'kach tala biyadi, mo'elis lahashpis hadavar. That if a person starts to think, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to accomplish this, I'm going to accomplish that, very often that's a good guarantee that he's not going to accomplish it. And that's true even in Divrei Torah, that your machshava is not going to be miskayim. Person says, up until this point, I'm going to finish this by this time, I'm going to finish that by that time. It's not good for your learning. A little bit difficult. One would assume that that's a positive thing for your learning, to set goals in learning. It's very important to have goals. But the Gemara assumes that second day in Rashi assumes that it's not a good idea, that to say that you're going to accomplish a certain thing in learning. Maybe the point is that the emphasis shouldn't be on how much you think you're going to accomplish. The emphasis is, what am I going to do today? So I'll accomplish today, and then I'll accomplish more tomorrow. But if you start to say, okay, by the middle of July, I plan on finishing a Masechta. Well, it's not even close to July, so I can, you know, at least wait till next month to start. Next month, I can wait till June, and then by the end of the day, you never accomplish anything. Maybe that's the idea, that you're always, right, Lev Ksil B'smola, the current Rashi V'Kerem Yavne, used to say that Lev Chacham L'Yamina, Lev Ksil B'smola, means that if you look at the Gemara, the Chacham is looking at what he's already done. He's looking to Chazer. Lev Ksil B'smola is looking at, oh, how much more do I have left? How much more do I have? That's never a good idea in terms of accomplishing and learning. Okay, so we said, I feel the Ritter Shnemer made for Machshavos Arum Vlosa Sani Yadayim Toshia, Amar Rabbi, Imasukin Lashma in a Moelis. However, if a person is Osek Lashma, then the Machshavos are not going to hurt your Torah. Shnemer Rabbos Machshavos Blevish Vatsas Hashem Hisakum, Eitz Sheish Badvar Hashem Hisakum Liolam. If you're interested in Dvar Hashem, you're interested in doing things Lashem Shemaim, then don't worry about it. The Machshavos aren't going to hurt anything. Amar Rabbi Yudayim Masai. So in our Mishnah, we discussed the Masachik Bekuvia. And Rabbi Yudah said, when is a Masachik Bekuvia Pasula Eidus? That's only if he doesn't have another job. But if he has another job, then he's Kashala Eidus. Amar Rabbi Vav Amar Blazar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. He says, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, says Tosfos, and therefore that would mean that someone who gambles on occasion is kosher to be an aid, that it's not an issue to gamble on occasion. However, says Tosfos, that's only if the money is munach al adaf. It's only if the money is put on the table in advance. Because if it's not, then it's definitely a smachta, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then it's definitely going to be aser. If you don't put all the money out on the table, it's going to be aser. Someone was just asking me yesterday about joining a March Madness pool. So I was trying to think what the heter would be. I'm not sure. If you don't have the money, munach al adaf, and people assume there's certain skill, some people, at least anyone in the pool, assumes that there's certain skill in picking teams, so then Lecharet should be Yasser. I don't know. I'm not sure. Vamer b'vamer b'lazer, Kulan Tzrichin Achraza BeBeisdin. All these people, to say that they're Pasul Eidos, you need to be Machraz in BeBeisdin, you need to announce it in BeBeisdin. Roa Pligi Baravach Ravina, Chadam Rabbi Achraza, Chadam Lobay Achraza. By a shepherd, it's Machlokas, whether you need to be Machraz in BeBeisdin. Bishlam Madiam Lobay Achraza, Hindam Ravidam Rav, Stam Roa Pasul. If you say it doesn't need Achraza, that's because everyone assumes a Stam Roa is Pasul, so why do you need to announce it? Everyone, and what do you do for a living? I'm a shepherd. Okay, that's all we need to know. You don't need to be Machraz at his Pasul. But if you hold that he needs achraza, so what do we mean, stam ro apostle? So the bistama machrizin in alei. What that means is not that every ro is apostle, that every time you have a roa, you have to go be machriz minastam. You go and be machriz, that is apostle. But only once you're machriz is he actually apostle. There was a matana that two gazlanim were signed on, and Rav Papa Bar Shmuel wanted to make a kasher, dalo achrizin in alei, because no one was ever machriz on them that they were apostle. No, the concept of achraza is only by gazan drabanan, not by gazan daraisa. This idea of achraza, Rav Salvechik explained, I heard from Shech that Rav Salvechik explained that the halacha krab Yehuda and the idea of achraza are very much related to each other. Because there's the machlokas amarayim, if Rabbi Yehuda is cholik on the Tanakama, or he's only being mefarish Tanakama, that's what we learned yesterday. So if he's cholik on the Tanakama, then mistama, the Tanakama holds that all of these psulin, the mesachim b'kuvim, are psulim even if they do it bakrai, even if they only do it once in a while, because it's an avera to do these things. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, that these psulim are not psulim machmas rishos, that are doing an avera, and therefore if they only do it mizman lizman, it would not be possible, because they're not, it's not rishos. So what's the psul then? So the psul is, so he says that it's once you have a chalos shem misachik b'kuvya, the rabbanon where goes are psul edus. Ein osuk b'yeshuv shalom is on psul. No, but once you have a chalos shem misachik b'kuvya, you pasul edus. If you hold that it's totally in a chalos shem, what creates a chalos shem? Hachraza is what creates a chalos shem. You need to do hachraza in order to have a chalos shem misachik b'kuvya. Without doing hachraza, you're never going to have a chalos shem misachik b'kuvya. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up at the two dots tomorrow.